Blog Talk Radio.
Guess what I'm allowed to say now? That laptop did belong to Hunter Biden. So what other conspiracy theories down the line will we be able to openly communicate about? Hello there, you 5.3 million awakening wonders joining me on a journey that we make together towards truth with all of its complexity, with all of its nuance, with the changes around what truth is permissible at what time. Remember, if you're not a subscriber, subscribe to us now. And if you don't belong to my mailing list yet, you better bloody well join it. I need you to. You know why that might be. So we got to talk to you today about Hunter Biden's laptop. Ah, you saucy little devil, you keeper of secrets. Now, just to let you know, I don't care about addiction and all of the salacious stuff. I'm a recovering drug addict. I've done stuff in my life, man. I'm interested in the financial things, and I'm even more interested in the fact that the New York Post were prevented from tweeting about the story. And what does that suggest about free press, free media, freedom of speech, stuff that I...
Remember when no one thought that 1 year from the election, the Dow would be up 28.5%.
You've got very strong growth, a terrific employment market.
We have no inflation, virtually no inflation.
Wages climbed 2.7%. The unemployment rate matched a 50-year low.
Oil prices dropping today, tumbling more than 3%.
President Trump's policies, tax cuts, deregulation, opening energy.
Whether you're a blue-collar or white-collar worker, he's taking care of all collars.
He is rebuilding this economy
in ways experts say was never possible.
The Biden administration faces another crisis amid a growing...
It is not a pretty picture here at the pump. The price of gas increasing more than 6% over...
You're paying more for everything.
Oh, say, can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched, were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star-spangled
and we're delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. I feel like my brain is hemorrhaging right now from today. I cannot begin to tell you the amount of texts and emails and phone calls that I got for what transposed today with the CDC. I guess we should just get right into that, huh?
Yep, go
Even
ahead.
Though I know we've got a ton of listeners tonight, I got so many texts asking, you guys got on the New York State Citizens Audit tonight. I got to call in for that one. I got to listen. How do I get in? Of course, it's always the same people that text me every week for the link. And it's like, will you save it? Just save it.
Look back through your old texts. That's why they're there.
Oh, my God. So we are coming live and nationwide, apparently worldwide now, so I heard a rumor.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Live and nationwide. So that's a scary thought, at least for you.
Why
that? The look
I'm
got.
Not afraid.
You know, they're tracking us through you never know, just don't use PayPal.
Right, yeah. Which I don't. So,
anyway, my brain is hemorrhaging from what happened today. For most of you that don't know, yesterday the CDC had a mega meeting And, you know, they kind of sprung it on everybody, too. Most people didn't really know about this until the last minute, which is typical.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Typical of what they do. And they
behind
closed doors. Yeah. Well, you know, you could have sent your comments in for a couple of days before, but apparently they're not listening to the public because the amount of people that sent in requests saying, you know, this is not the right thing to do, children are not affected by this fake virus, children, you know.
Yeah, they've got a 99.7% recovery rate from the fake virus.
Right.
You know, why vaccinate them against something that they're does not? Well, for that matter, you know, I said it before. When I was a kid, you know, we all got the measles, the mumps, the chicken pox, the German measles, you know, which I think is called rubella now because German measles is kind of racist or something. I don't know. But nobody that I know died. Yeah, you were sick as hell for a week. But, you know, you didn't die. So why get vaccinated against something that's not going to kill you or maim you?
Well, I mean, even, and, you know, I've made this story before because I've been going at this since 2016, 2017, when they got rid of our religious exemption. You know, and us parents, you know, we say, you know, one of these days this is going to affect you too. You know, you're going to be forced to either choose to homeschool or move or vaccinate your kids because that's the situation that 26,000 families were in back in 2019 when we were fighting this alone for the most part because, you know, people thought we were wearing our tinfoil hats by saying, my girlfriend, she got a hat. But speaking of tinfoil hats, it was like a winter hat that said, my tinfoil hat. I said, I have got to find out where she got that. But they thought that we were making this up and that eventually, you know, it would be all good. And now, you know, what's happening is the CDC has come out and their advisory committee, because they're advising you on how to take care of your health and your children's health. Don't forget that,
mm-hmm.
you know, because you're inept to do that, that they're going to add the COVID-19 mRNA shots to the immunization
schedule.
Schedule for children and adults. They're adding it to adults, too.
Yeah.
As if your doctor wasn't bothering the shit out of you enough.
Right, right.
Yeah, when you go in. In fact, my mom said that she went in for her physical today, and, you know, they asked her, do you want the COVID shot? Do you want the flu shot? My mother's like, until you can get some solid research that, A, they're effective, and, B, they're not injuring and killing people, then, yeah, I'll think about it. You know, the doctor was like, you know, because they're paid on what to say. So anyway, to go back on adding this vaccine, if you want to call it that, this gene-altering liquid in a vial. Once a vaccine is a part of the childhood schedule, the manufacturers are shielded from injury lawsuits.
Yep.
Right? The government basically compensates them on something called the National Childhood Vaccine Injury Act. That was signed in by Reagan back in 1986. That was a long time ago. So basically, you can't sue a vaccine company if your kid is injured.
The other thing that Reagan did in 1986 was he gave amnesty to the 4.5 million illegals, and he said it would never happen again, and he did it in exchange for a wall. And to his deathbed, he said that was the worst deal he ever made in his life because the Democrats never came through on it,
yeah,
on their half the deal.
Yeah, well, now look what's happening. The Democratic states and cities are hemorrhaging with people everywhere.
Yeah.
You know,
I guess since the Biden administration, since Biden took office, 5.2 million illegals have come across the border. That doesn't include the people that, you know, emigrated to the country legally. That's,
mm-hmm.
And I said, you know, June 6, 1944, 280,000 Allied troops invaded Europe. By August, there were 2.8 million Allied troops that had invaded Europe. Mm-hmm. So this 5.2 million, it's an invasion, ladies and gentlemen. You know, let's not you know, be politically correct about this or anything. It is an invasion of our country.
Yep.
And what are we going to do with all these people? You know, it's more than 1% of the population.
Yeah.
And they're talking about building tent cities and, you know, giving them laundry and three squares and you know, a place to live and a heated tent and the parks and stuff like that.
It's pathetic. And let's not forget of the amount of money that they're sending over to Ukraine and all this stuff when we can't take care of our own people.
Right.
There's veterans that aren't being taken care of. There's there's, you know, she's going to get, my cat is walking over the switchboard right now.
Yeah, it does it every week. You
we're
know?
Thinking, okay, what's she going to do?
Yeah,
we're not paying enough attention to her.
What keys are, is she going to press?
Yeah, her name is Ivy. So, and she's really, she's kind of like a seclusion type of cat. She doesn't like a lot of attention, except when we get on the radio show. She wants to be on the keyboard.
Well, maybe because the keyboard gets a little hot and it, you know, heats up her little paws or something.
I don't know what it is, but, you know, so anyway, to go back on this, people that are saying it's not going to happen to them, people that are saying, oh, oops, I just dropped the phone, the kids won't be affected, you know, New York State won't really do this. Well, guess what? If you guys want to read up, you can go to the New York State Senate page, and they will tell you the bills. I'll tell you the bills that are sitting there that are ready to be passed in this next legislative session. And I will tell you, if she gets reelected, and that is leading into the whole topic of this show tonight, is election, the election, is there election fraud?
Right, right.
If she gets reelected, I can sure crap tell you that these bills will be passed. Because don't forget how much money Cuomo made back in 2019 when he signed the deal and sealed the deal,
mm-hmm.
right, that he got from Merck, $43.2 billion, $1 million or something. He got the very next day after they got rid of the
election. Well, Albany got it. The state coffers got it.
He got it.
Yeah.
He was Albany.
He
ran Albany.
Yeah, but he didn't personally get it. He, wow. You know, it was paid to the state, into the general coffers of the state.
Well,
So is the
lottery, but we don't really know what happens to that either.
Oh, yes, we do. It goes into the school budget for 1 minute, then it gets borrowed out of the school budget and puts into the general fund for them to spend on their programs, where, you know, the lotto is supposed to go to the schools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of people don't know that, oh, I'm playing the lotto to support the schools. Guess what? Newsflash.
Yeah.
We said we were going to be delivering the truth in New York State or beyond, but it wasn't always what you wanted to hear. So the bills that are sitting there, some of these bills, I'm not going to mention all of them, but Bill A-8378, sponsored by Dinowitz, and he is a dimwit, mandatory COVID shots for K-12 students. That's one of them. Holliman, he's another one. He sponsored the religious exemption. He also sponsors the HPV and a whole bunch of ridiculous bills. He's probably one of the worst. And he's out, I forget what county he is, but he's somewhere out in New York City.
Yeah.
Obviously. Ann Godfrey, they're all adult vaccine records must be given to the state. There's another one by Dinowitz, eliminates religious exemptions from vaccine mandates for work or school. Mandatory COVID-19 shots for college students, that's a Holliman bill. Mandatory flu shots for kids K-12, that's a Holliman bill. So this is what I'm saying to you. If you really are watching what's going on and seeing how this is playing out, if she gets reelected, they will call session, or they'll just wait until session, and they will pass these bills. Because she's going to get paid a lot of money.
Yep, yep.
A lot of money. They don't care about your kids. So you may want to start thinking about alternate plans, parents. If you don't want to give your kid the death jab, you better start thinking about something else.
Mm-hmm.
Like homeschooling or moving. I mean, go to Florida, right? Ron DeSantis came out today, and he said that he will absolutely 100%, as long as he is alive and breathing, and these were his words, mandate a COVID shot for kids to attend school. No way. So it'd be nice if he ran for office, wouldn't it?
And
but,
you know,
but the question is, would they cheat?
And all of you get out and vote. Not only don't vote for, you know, if you're going to vote for Hochul, I just brought back a bumper sticker last night. It said, Hochul for prison in 2022.
Yeah.
And so that's the only thing she should get voted into is prison. And then make sure you vote for the state senators, too, because right now, you know, they've got a supermajority in the Assembly and in the Senate.
Yeah.
And even if Zeldin wins, by some chance, you know, he's got so many votes that they can't cheat Hochul back into office and he wins. The way things sit in the Assembly and the Senate right now, they could override any veto that he's got.
Yep.
And, you know, things will be just as bad as they are now.
Yeah, and I think that's what people are getting. They think that, you know, he's going to be able to just wave a magic wand and make all this stuff go away. Well, guess what? You know, it's his Assembly and Senate that control most of it. And, you know, if speaking of Assembly, Senate, I should give a plug for our very good friends that are running.
Right.
Ed Rath.
For State Senate.
State Senate. Sandy Mangiano running for Assembly, 147th District, 147th. Somewhere in Western New York.
142nd.
Somewhere in Western New York. And Stephen Sams, he's running for Congress against Brian Higgins, who still has not responded to his debate request. And there's a lot of other good ones that are running throughout the state, that we want to keep or that we want to get in.
Yeah.
So
especially go out and vote, for Republican state senators. That is... there's 63 state senators. Right now they've got about 40 of them. We've got 23. So if we could pick up 10, 12 seats, then we'll have the majority and there'll be some semblance of sanity, kind of like it was until 2019 when we lost the Senate, I believe.
Yeah, isn't it it's so interesting how in 2019 we lost the Senate and all that other stuff went down too. I think people are paying more better attention. I don't know. I'm assuming if you're calling into this radio show, maybe you're paying attention. So, talking about the election, thinking about, is there fraud? We had on the New York State audit back in April, and Dean, as a committee chairman, was shocked.
Yeah, I was shocked. I've been involved in the elections for 15, 16 years by either assigning the election inspectors. And I'll tell you guys, what didn't surprise me was that this was all done on the county and state level. Because at the local level, these people that are working the polls, they're your neighbors, they're retirees that want to make $200 for a really long, hard day, especially with the presidential election where, they take 15 minutes for lunch and they eat it in their laps while they're working. I know all the election inspectors in the town that I live in personally. And, they're just your neighbors. They're not, doing it. And I poll watched for years and years and years. Now, an election inspector, those are the people that sign you in and, take your name and have you sign in the book and then hand you your ballot and then you put the ballot in the machine. The poll watchers are the people that watch the poll and make sure there's no cheating going on.
Mm-hmm.
And, at the end of the night, they're allowed to stay there after the polls have closed, and they watch them close down the machines and stuff. And I've done that for years and years, too. And, I didn't see any hanky-panky going on when I've done that.
Well, had you watched some of the, and this is, I think, before you really got into things, had you watched some of the videos and things that came through after the presidential election, and all of these were hidden, there's definitely some hanky-panky going on. And we're going to let Regina, or Angie, Regina, I put her in my phone as Regina because her name is Angie Rena. So she is going to come in and she's going to talk about, she's with the New York State audit. And I'm not sure where her phone number is on here. We got like six or seven phone numbers on here. So it's coming up as 111. So I'm guessing that's her as a restricted number. We'll try it. And if not, we'll move on to the next one there. So she's going to come on. We are going to talk to her about the New York State audit, and I'm going to let her lead into how much she wants to indulge for the first 10 minutes before a commercial. Are you there?
Hey there, guys. How are you?
Thank you. Thanks for being with us. Just to give you a quick recap, we go to commercial at 8 and 8:30 for 4 minutes, and because it is live radio, there is a slight delay when we're speaking.
Understood. I got it. And it's great to be here, and thank you for the invite. New York Citizens Audit is always excited to bring information to the voters and update everyone on what we've been working on. And since the last time that we were on, so much has happened. So I'm excited to be able to share that with you and your listeners.
Yeah. So tell us, you told me a little bit about your background. Could you just tell us a little bit on what you'd like to tell people? You don't have to tell us everything, but tell us a little bit about your background, how you got involved in it before we go to commercial.
Absolutely. Yeah. So in 2020, I was one of those unfortunate candidates in the New York State election. I ran for New York State Senate in the 50th District, which is out in the Syracuse area, covering two different counties and a number of wonderful towns. And I worked really hard as a candidate to, especially during COVID. So this was, 2020 was a COVID year. No one knew how to run a campaign during a COVID year, but we did a fantastic job. And the reason why I decided to run is because I'm a small business owner. I have a family. I have two great kids. And I saw this before COVID, I saw the decline in our state. I've been a lifelong resident of New York State, living in Westchester County, Orange County, and Onondaga County. So seeing a different landscape of the state throughout my life. And I saw the decline of what was going on. So as a small business owner and seeing the struggles of my clients who were retiring, who were moving out of state because they couldn't afford to live in New York State any longer, seeking opportunities elsewhere because their kids were leaving the state after college and finding opportunities for work elsewhere. I thought, this is ridiculous, and this is the time to get involved. Lo and behold, COVID happened, and I never thought in a million years that I would be running as a first-time candidate during COVID for New York State Senate. I ran for a seat that has been, for the last 45 years, in Republican hands. So while the enrollment had changed a little bit, it still should have been a pretty, not without its challenges, but a seat that we should have held on to, and it was an important seat to hold on to because of what Dean was referencing earlier, a supermajority. We were really struggling and rallying against the Democrats getting a supermajority in the state Senate. They already had it in the Assembly, and so it was really important to try to keep some of those seats in the Senate. And this was one of the more important seats that year in elections. But unfortunately, even though I went to bed quite in the lead on election night, when we woke up the next day and had to count an astronomical number of mail-in ballots that came in, I think it's like a 1,500% increase over what we had in previous years. It was going to be an uphill battle. So right away, I filed a lawsuit for the court to get involved so that we could have control over the counting process for the mail-in ballots. And I think we may have counted those mail-in ballots and did some challenges to those ballots for a day or two. And then all of a sudden, there was a COVID outbreak in the Board of Elections, and they had to close for 10 days. And the chain of custody cannot be proven with what had occurred with all of those mail-in ballots during the closure, and I'm using quotation marks, even though you guys can't see me, of that Board of Elections. So when they did return, it was after Thanksgiving in 2020 to resume counting. All of a sudden, I was overtaken, and I lost the election. And that is not unlike what happened in the presidential and some other races across the state and the country, where all of a sudden, the election process was just shut down for no reason.
Yeah, what amazes me is how, you know, at the last minute, someone finds 3,000 ballots in their garage. Now, how did they go from the polling place to in their garage, and not a single one is for the good guys? All 3,000 of the votes are for the bad guys, and that's, you know, statistically impossible. Not only is it that you know they end up going, instead of going straight from the polling place to the Board of Elections, they take a detour to someone's garage, and then a few days after the you should know what's going on, and it looks like the bad guys are going to lose. All of a sudden, these show up.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just amazing to me.
Yeah, the chain of custody was definitely broken along the way in many, many races across the country for sure, and especially in New York State. And I just want to piggyback on something that you had said, Dean, because you're involved in the polling places. Again, this is not a critique on the local poll watchers and the poll workers that do such a great job to usher us in and give us the information we need to accurately vote at the polling places and keep that process kind of streamlined. I recognize that those citizens are hard workers, and I appreciate that work. But this goes far and beyond what we're talking about. These are concerted efforts, I believe, in my own opinion, to just make the election process so convoluted that nefarious things can happen behind the scenes. And it's, onesie, twosie people that may be the bad actors in those cases, but by and large, the majority of the people that volunteer at the polls or are the poll watchers are fantastic people, and we appreciate their work. But having said that, 2020 was such an anomaly that it really did allow for New York Citizens Audit to come together. It's a volunteer organization, and the citizens just couldn't take it anymore, and they got together and they started opening the books of the voter rolls in New York State, so to speak. And had 2020 not happened in such an egregious way, we never would have found how bad the system is if it were not for what happened during 2020. And I believe it's been happening for a long time, but because 2020 was just such a crazy year, things were at a much larger percentage. Things happened exponentially more that year than ever before.
You know, and what I saw that was fundamentally different in the process in 2020 before that, in prior years, is all the prior years prior to 2020, the machines, they all had a tape. And it's like the old calculator tapes, you know, that the accountants used. You know, they would be, you know, this tape would end up being like 10 feet long on a busy day. And then they always had the USB drive. Well, the USB drive used to get locked up in the machine. This is prior to 2020. And all the numbers came off the tape. And whoever was elected the chairman of that group, of that polling area, would take the tape and call those numbers into the Board of Elections. Well, what happened in 2020, the first time I ever saw this, they didn't read off the tape unless you requested them to. And instead, they took the USB drive to a central location, met up with someone from the Board of Elections that was sitting in a car with a laptop, plugged it in, and they transmitted the results to the Board of Elections. Now, this got the Board of Elections, it got the results really, really quick. You know, you didn't need people on the other side answering the phone. The problem is, and they know this happened nationally, there's, me being an old IT guy, I know about this stuff, there's a virus called a man in the middle. And what that does is it grabs the transmission while it's on the wire, changes the data, and then sends it on. So, you know, the Board of Elections doesn't know if the data that it got was the real stuff or if it wasn't. Mm-hmm. And they know that happened in 2020. You know, personally, I like the old paper route, you know, and the manual. But somehow technology prevails. And then, you know, everybody was talking about the Diebolds, or not Diebold, but Dominion software.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that definitely more after commercial.
Right.
I definitely want to get more into that. So we have to go to our first commercial. All you have to do is just hang on the line. We'll be back in 4 minutes. D&D, delivering the truth in New York State and beyond. We'll be back with New York Citizens Audit. We have a lot to get into here. Hang tight, guys.
Hey, everyone. Proof here. Just wanted to ask you guys, are you guys tired of all the mask ordinances that are passing all over the place with people telling you that you're not allowed to buy and sell unless you have a piece of fabric over your face? Well, we sure are tired of it. Please check out realbarefaceislegal.org and help us get together to fight these mask ordinances. You can also find Bareface Is Legal on Facebook, either as a group or a business page. Anyway, help us fight back against these stupid mask mandates. RealBareFaceIsLegal.org.
Most people say they hate wearing shoes and would go barefoot if they knew they were allowed. People say it all the time on their social medias, but they are worried that someone will say something to them. so everyone wears the cheapest flip-flops with the least amount of fabric on them. Most people do not even know that it's completely 100% legal to go barefoot into a store. Most people think that driving barefoot is illegal, but it isn't. Driving barefoot actually is safer than wearing most shoes. Going outside barefoot for a walk is one of the healthiest things you could do, but most people are afraid someone will say so. Or they quote the myths and the rumors that their grandma told them years ago. The fact is, there are no laws against driving a car, going to a store, or eating in a restaurant barefoot. So don't give in to bad fashion, hurt heels, or a broken flip-flop. For more information, please check out barefootislegal.org or find us on your favorite social media. There are over 1 million accidents caused annually by wearing improper shoes. Needless accidents are caused by wearing high heels, flip-flops, and other shoes. We need to get everyone to stop driving in unsafe shoes. Barefoot driving is 100% legal in the U.S. and Canada. Driving barefoot is much safer. You can feel the pedals and no shoes getting in the way of the pedals. Some shoes fall off when driving and can cause accidents when this happens. So we are asking everyone to do the hashtag iDriveBarefoot challenge. Drive barefoot for safety. Take a video or selfie and tell a friend. Brought to you by Barefoot is Legal. I want to tell everyone about the 501c3 nonprofit Barefoot is Legal. Flip-flops are the most worn shoe. Even in America, almost everyone wears cheap flip-flops during the summer, sometimes even all year long. It's because they don't want to wear shoes, but there is 60 years of social stigma to overcome. Most people think it is illegal to drive a car, go to a store, or eat in public without shoes on. The fact is, there are zero laws, health department stuff, insurance regulations, etc. about going barefoot. Not only that, it is actually safer and more healthy to go barefoot than wear most shoes that we have been wearing for the last half century. Please check out the website barefootislegal.org and check out all of our social media. Going barefoot is safe, healthy, and legal. Barefootislegal.org.
Okay, we are back.
I had almond butter stuck in my throat. I was like, no, wait.
Yeah, but the commercial was over, so here we are. Yeah, are you still there?
I am here. I'm excited to be here with you guys. Thanks again for having us.
Oh, you're welcome.
So just to go rewind just a little bit, tell us how did the New York Citizens get started?
Citizens Audit, Citizens Audit, yeah.
What did I say?
Yeah, New York Citizens Audit, they got established or started to kind of get together in June or July of 2021, and our director, Gigi, was really the momentum and continues to be the momentum behind the group. So I'm so grateful for her and all of her hard work. But we've got such an excellent team of dedicated citizens that – and again, it's all volunteer. And they just, were connected to one another through some other groups and started talking and said, this isn't right. What happened in 2020 wasn't right. And it wasn't necessarily a matter of what happened with the presidential. It just didn't feel right. It didn't sit well with their spirit. So they said, you know what, why don't we get together and we will do some FOIL requests, which is the Freedom of Information law that allows for everyday citizens to write into state agencies or government agencies and get information that's publicly available. And they didn't know what they would find. They didn't think that they would find anything because supposedly New York State is a blue state. So, what kind of fraud could go on in a blue state. There's no reason for them to be stealing the vote in New York State, presumably.
Right.
So, they went ahead and they started foiling for the voter rolls. And it's publicly available information. And it took quite some time, but, almost a year later, they had enough information to kind of put the brakes on and say, what the heck were these people doing? What were our elected officials doing? Because these numbers don't jive. You know, you're supposed to have the number of votes and the number of voters are supposed to match. And in New York State, they didn't. And they didn't by more than a quarter of a million. So that's quite a big jump. It's like 272,000 off of one another, trying to verify between three different sources, which would be the County Board of Elections, the State Board of Elections, and the Secretary of State, who's supposed to verify this information and put the seal of approval on and say, yes, we can certify this election. Well, they didn't match. And so they certified an election, and we're talking about really the down ballot races. So your state legislature and the judicial should not have been certified in most cases across the state, yet it was. And so since they've been on with you guys in May and June, or over the summer of this year, we served 29 counties with petitions asking for a redress of our grievances because the numbers didn't match. Nothing jived, and we gave them a great outline of what the issues were. And that was providing that information to the County Board of Elections, to the State Board of Elections, to the Attorney General, Letitia James, to the district attorneys of those counties, and also to the party chairs of those counties, giving them all an opportunity to say, okay, there's some serious accusations in this petition. The petition was signed by citizens of those counties across the state, and they could have reached out to us and said, let's sit down and go over this because these are serious allegations that you're making. And in that petition that we submitted, we outlined identity theft of citizens that are now injured because their identities were stolen and a fraudulent voter record was made in their name. We've got easily 320,000 cases of that, but that alone is the equivalent of over a million felonies for identity theft and forgery. And wow. So this is pretty significant. So now you're not only talking about an election process that has been just a complete debacle. They did not follow election law at all in a lot of cases. You're talking about maladministration at best, but at worst, you're talking about some nefarious activities where innocent citizens of New York State's identities were stolen to create a secondary voter registration. And we've got an instance where there's a gentleman who had 11 registrations in his name. New York State election law says you can only have one state identification number. It says unique as your social security number. Even if you move, even if you change your name, whenever you have to amend your record, you keep that same number. But this particular gentleman had 11 created under his name. And we've got instances of multiple voter records. And so citizens have been harmed. And so these are serious allegations. We're expecting them to want to reach out and sit down with us and say, okay, you know, what information are you using? How did you, you know, come to this information, and how can we straighten this out? But they didn't. They didn't respond to those petitions back in May. And so just in the last couple of weeks, we have now served them with a notice of claim, letting them know that they have 30 days to respond, and we are going to file a lawsuit against the state board of elections commissioners and the county board of elections commissioners, as well as the Republican and Democrat party chairs of those counties.
Yeah, the gentleman was with us back in April, end of April 28th that we had you guys on the last time. I forgot his name, unfortunately, but he said at the time they found 1.9 million fraudulent votes, and they said that it was obviously somebody that had access to the database, because let's take the name Carol, okay, you know, C-A-R-O-L, and they'd have it at that address, okay, Carol whatever. And then the database would change it, C-A-R-O-L-L, C-A-R-O-L-E, C-A-R-R-O-L. And, you know, I'm just using that name because it's easy to, you know, there's a lot of spellings for it. And all the different spellings would be gone through, and that's how they found it in the databases. And so the one person would have multiple identities spelled the same way. Well, then to make matters worse, whoever controlled the databases would make all these fake people vote, which is a felony. So the people that were manipulating the databases were also causing unsuspecting citizens to commit felonies, which is even worse.
That's exactly right, Dean. You got it. And so that led us to find what's even worse. And so I joke all the time because, and it's not a joke, but what I'm about to tell you is really significant and it's serious. But sometimes it's so over the top that when we share this in an audience setting, they gasp and they go, oh, and they can't believe it. And then 2 seconds later, they go on with their life and order the powdered sugar donut through the drive-thru. What I'm about to tell you should make everybody stop in their tracks and say nothing else matters at this point until this is fixed. Because what's at stake right now and what New York Citizens Audit has uncovered with New York voter rolls and really helping other states across the country is a direct result of why our rights have been stripped away from us. They have been slowly stripped away up until 2020, and then all of a sudden, it's just the carpet's ripped out from under us. And so now we're seeing it with the vaccines you were talking about earlier, vaccinating our kids, educating our kids when they're not mature enough to be hearing certain information, stripping us of our Second Amendment rights, stripping us of our religious rights. You guys didn't talk about this earlier, but now we've got debanking as an issue, because if you talk against a certain type of approved language, the banks can shut you down now. It's getting out of control, and it's all a direct result of what's going on in these elections, and that is that the elections are being manipulated. And I want to make it clear in saying – I was a Republican and a conservative candidate, but this group is nonpartisan. And what we're finding is it affects Democrats just as much as it affects Republicans. So everyone should be shaking in their boots and demanding that their elected officials and those that are running who are knocking on their doors asking for their vote in this upcoming election, they should be the citizens should be demanding that this gets taken care of and this gets the proper attention that it deserves. And this is what I want you guys to know. This is something that we uncovered, and it was well after the team was before you back in April. We found hidden coding, hidden software in the voter rolls that would allow for someone who's got access to those voter rolls to be able to pull out or identify the fake fraudulent voters that they are creating off of an innocent citizen and attach a fake or fraudulent mail-in ballot to. Now, this is critical. Because we all, you know, hopefully your audience watched 2,000 Mules, but we do know in 2020, particularly in New York State, Andrew Cuomo made an executive order that said that you could do a mail-in ballot without any reason, COVID could be the reason. And so in my particular county, where in the, you know, previous to that, we had maybe three or 4,000 mail-in ballots. Now we had 59,000 mail-in ballots in my district. It's completely unheard of. And that was the case throughout the state. We had great candidates running for state senate in 2020 that lost. We all, that should have won, and it was all because of these mail-in ballots. But you can't have a mail-in ballot without a voter to attach it to. You got to have the votes, and you got to have the voter, and those numbers are supposed to match. So this was the year where they really had to go full on and get as many mail-in ballots stuffed in as they possibly could, and they were in a rush to create as many fake voters as they possibly could because they were concerned about the turnout that would happen in 2020. That's why I think our numbers are off by such a great amount, 272,000. They don't match. But you have to have a voter to attach a fraudulent ballot to. So they created this matrix to be able to determine out of 20 million records of voters who are the real ones and who are the fake ones. If you know who the fake voters are in the records, then you know which ones you can attach a fake ballot to. And that, my friends, is a manipulation of the outcome of an election. And so that, in addition to all of the other discrepancies that we found in the audit, should put the brakes on everything and say, start all over. Start all over. This should never have been certified. We have no idea who really won these races. And so we need to clear the slate, clean the slate, and start all over again. And why is that important? Because people who may not have been duly elected have been making laws in our state that have been affecting our lives, affecting our children's lives, affecting our businesses, affecting our ability to live our free life.
Mm-hmm. So if this is, so just to take it a little bit to the side for a second, if this is happening in New York State and they're uncovering this, what's going on in other states?
They're finding the same thing. They're finding the exact same thing. Now, we knew that it would be prevalent in the swing states. In 2000 Mules, if you saw that movie, you saw some of those swing states being affected by the mules with those drop boxes. We did have drop boxes like that in New York State, not as prevalent as in some other states. And also, don't forget, we got the Zuck Bucks in New York State also. That those are the Mark Zuckerberg from Facebook funding that he provided under the guise of it being a grant for COVID so that people could vote with certain safety precautions. That's not what the money was spent on. In many cases, the money was spent on those drop boxes and paying the mules to go around and collect fake ballots and stuff those boxes with them so that they could overrun the election process. In Onondaga County, where I ran, I believe it was $274,000 that we received as a grant for Zuckbucks. No idea where that money went because, you know, I know who was working in our Board of Elections office. I know that the Board of Elections office was closed for many, many days because of this so-called COVID outbreak. So I'm not sure where that $274,000 went.
Interesting.
That's amazing.
But, you know, another thing, they were all talking about Dominion software, right? And, well, Dominion was really, you know, so what happened was after I heard about Dominion, I went and looked, you know, and voted and looked. I was like, oh, good, we got Diebold machines. Well, what Dominion did was they were smart. You know, yeah, some states use the Dominion-branded machine, but they actually have 25 different companies, and Diebold's one of them, that are registered in 25 different countries. So when the governor of Pennsylvania says, hey, we don't use Dominion machines, he's telling the truth. They're not using Dominion. They're using one of the other subsidiaries. So, you know, the code that changes the votes is there, and it knows the algorithms, and it counts up. From what I understand, you know, the code in the Dominion machines and their subsidiaries can tell who's winning and who's losing, and then all of a sudden starts changing votes. And unless you do a hand count of the paper ballots, you'll never know. And I think those are getting rarer and rarer with just the gross numbers of them. But another interesting thing, and this is the scary part, Mao Zedong said that when the citizenry loses confidence in the voting system, then it's time for a revolution. And advocating a revolution or anything, but things are getting pretty bad, and people are getting pretty upset
getting
about stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, we are getting there. And you made go ahead.
I was just going to say, we really are getting there. We're there. Trust me, we're there. And so this next election, and it's coming up quick, is really going to be the telltale sign of what the sentiment is across the nation with the citizenry.
Yeah, and, you know, you made a really good point about, you know, it's great to go out there and campaign and, you know, support all these people, go to fundraisers, yada, yada. But if this is going on in New York State, it's not going to matter. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know, how many doors
That's
you
right.
knock on, this system can't be fixed. And I guess the ultimate question, and this was an email that we got in from a Mandy who lives in Rochester, New York, and she's asking, if we can't fix this election, if we can't fix these elections, she states, what can we do? What are we going to do? What path are we going down?
Well, I'm going to answer Mandy's question, but I do want to back up for 1 second and address something that Dean said and with regard to the machines. And so a couple points I want to make there, and I think it's important. One, those cast vote records, that those tally sheets that those machines print out, we foiled. We requested those. And there were a couple of counties that responded after multiple requests and about 18 months or more of requesting it. But for the most part, they denied our requests. And now, because we've gotten so much information and we've been serving them with these petitions and notice of claims, the Board of Elections have shut down. I think it's a concerted effort by the state BOE, meeting with the county BOEs, telling them do not respond to our request for FOIL, and that is against the law. We as citizens have the right to know what's going on with our election process and with our government, and when we request that information, they should be giving it to us. But the machines are only a part of the puzzle, because even if we get rid of the machines, the voter rolls, the software to manipulate exists in the voter rolls. So all you need is a ballot and a voter to manipulate the outcome of an election, even without the machine. So they're a piece of the puzzle, but they're not the entire component to it. And so I want to make that very clear. Now, going to Mandy's question, what can we do? And we get this question all the time because people are defeated. And that's the last thing that we need to do right now is bury our heads in the sand and say, oh, no, we can't do anything about it. And I know this from experience because after I supposedly lost, I felt that way. And I thought, what could I do? I wanted to fight, but I didn't know how to fight. And thank goodness, I am so grateful to this team, to New York Citizens Audit and to Gigi for having the strength that I didn't have initially to figure this out. But what we did in 2016 is exactly what we need to be doing right now. In 2016, they wanted to fix that election. You better believe they wanted Hillary Clinton in that seat. And they did probably what they thought they had to do to get her there, but it wasn't enough because people poured to those polling places. They poured out in support for Trump, and they voted, and it was too late for them to fix it. They had no way of fixing it. And that's exactly what we need to do this year, and that's exactly what we need to do in 2024. Because, my friends, we're working so hard at New York Citizens Audit to fix this for people, and we're going to fix it. We will not stop until it's fixed, but it's not going to be fixed by November 8th. And I don't know if it's going to be fixed by 2024, but I'm praying that it is. But in the case that it's not, trust me when I tell you, they are on the hook right now. They know it. They know we're after them. They know we have the receipts, and they are scared. And so the best thing that we can do as voters is show up to the polls. Show up in person. Do not vote by mail-in ballot. Go in person.
Yeah.
I would prefer, we have early voting here that starts October 29th, and I know a lot of people like to do early voting, and at least that's in person, but it's still, that's an awful idea, this early voting. Look at how many days it gives them to have access to these machines and to these ballots to do whatever the heck they want with. You go on election day and you show up in numbers, you pile people into your car, you drive them to the polls, and you show up and you vote for the right candidates.
Yeah, and this whole early voting thing, I mean, it's just a total crock. You know, if you could have 80,000 people at a football game, you can have one day of voting. You cannot use COVID as an excuse anymore to have early voting. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You know, here in Erie County where we live, the entire early voting for the August primary was 7,700 people out of about 500,000 registered voters. So it wasn't even 1% of the registered voters came out and voted early.
Yeah.
Now, sure, it was a primary. You know, you don't have the turnout. But just in Erie County and just for the election inspectors, I figured out it was over $250,000 of taxpayer money just to pay their salaries. And that doesn't include the people at the Board of Elections, the people, you know, dropping off the machines, picking them up, you know, doing all the things that they do pre and post election. You know, just the election inspectors was a $250,000 bill. You know, and
it's ridiculous. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, You don't spend taxpayer dollars expanding the number of days to vote when you have such a low turnout. And don't forget, it's not every polling place that's open for those 9 days of early voting. They are limited polling places, but they do have to be staffed, and it drags out, and you only get a small percentage of voters who stand in long lines to vote. It doesn't work. If you want to make an impact and give every voter an opportunity to vote, you make it a state holiday or you make it a federal holiday. No one has to work that day. And their only job, because that's what the founding fathers had told us is necessary, it is our civic duty to vote for these people who are going to govern us. And so give us a day off and let everybody get out there and vote. That's the way that you do it, and that's the way that you ensure integrity of the system and the integrity of that chain of custody, which is so important.
So there's a couple of assemblymen that we're friends with, I won't mention the names, that pretty much have told us that the election fraud in New York has been going on for decades and decades.
Mm-hmm.
Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, I do.
Gone.
I do. And actually, there's a gentleman who was responsible, I believe, for the programming of the machines, didn't know that he was creating the programming for the machines. He was a Democrat. He was hired by a Republican to create software that would manipulate the outcome of the machine count. And that, I mean, you're talking about decades. This has been going on for a long time. And that's why I say, listen, Republicans and Democrats alike, it doesn't matter. The second largest enrollment in the state is blanks, is the unaffiliated. So it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter whether you've picked a team or whether you haven't picked a team. You are at risk. Your rights are at risk. your identity is at risk, and your livelihood is at risk. So you better pay attention to this, because we're losing this battle, slowly but surely. This ship is sinking, and this is our chance to turn it around. But people got to start talking about this. I mean, you guys have a great platform here because you're uncensored and no one's going to shut you down. But look at even these candidates, they don't want to talk about it. You know, you think Lee Zeldin doesn't know that there was election fraud? Of course he does. Ed Rath, I testified before him at an election integrity committee after I lost, and he's on the election integrity committee, and I testified before him, and he's a great guy. I love Ed Rath. All these candidates, they know what election fraud is, and this is different than voter fraud. Dean, when you were talking about the poll watchers and the poll workers, and they're looking to make sure there's nothing crazy going on during election day, that's voter fraud. That not that it doesn't happen, but it's such a small percentage that it doesn't change the outcome of an election. What we are talking about here is election fraud. It's so much more. Yeah. And people have to start talking about it.
Being counted, and other votes are being counted, or just fraudulent votes are flooding the system to change the outcome of an election. And it's 8:32. It's time for our next commercial break.
Yep, we're going to commercial, so just hang tight. D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond, will answer some of your questions when we come back, and I'd like to talk a little bit about the presidential elections. Hang tight, guys. We'll be back in four.
Imagine waking up in a trunk. What is grooming? What if I told you we had a 40% increase of human and sex trafficking in our country due to COVID lockdowns? We already had high numbers to begin with. One's Purpose is an amazing organization pounding the pavement every day, helping these survivors get help. Unfortunately, they do not have the funding they need for a safe house. In the state of Oregon, we have zero safe houses for these survivors who have endured the most heinous of crimes. The time is now to get involved. The time is now to help stop human trafficking. Please go to onespurpose.com to get involved. If you need help, and if you know someone who needs to get help, please contact 541-221-3448. Make a donation. Make a difference.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is your governor speaking.
Today's training evolution, dogfighting, taking on the corporate media.
The rules of engagement are as follows. Number one, don't fire unless fired upon. But when they fire, you fire back with overwhelming force.
Does it say that in the bill?
I'm asking
you to tell me what's in the bill.
Number two, never, ever back down from a fight.
If I could complete the question, though.
So are you going to give a speech or ask a question?
Number three, don't accept their narrative.
It's wrong. It's a fake narrative. I just disabused you of the narrative, and you don't care about the facts.
It's why people don't trust people like you, because you peddle false narratives.
All right, ladies and gentlemen.
When the enemy comes into your life like a flood, stand your ground. And take your sword out in Luke 10 and go eyeball to eyeball with him and tell him, I have been given the authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm me. Stand your ground. When he tries to use one of his main tactics, which is fear, tell him, for God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Stand your ground. When he thinks you're down, tell him, I'm not down, Satan. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Stand your ground. When he tells you you're a loser, tell him, I am the head and not the tail. When the enemy comes after you, tell him, Isaiah 54, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Stand your ground. When he whispers in your ear and tells you you can't do this. Throw Philippians 4:13 to him. I am able to do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Stand your ground.
My fellow Americans, it looks like some things have changed. Are we doing a good enough job teaching our children what America is and what she represents?
You want an abortion? Get one!
Younger parents aren't sure that an appreciation of America is the right thing to teach modern children.
We're not going to make America great again. It was never that great.
When I drive into a neighborhood and there are American flags, it's a message of white supremacy.
I'm warning of an eradication of the American memory that could result in an erosion of the American spirit.
We need to completely dismantle the police department.
If we forget what we did, we won't know who we are. We've got to do a better job of getting across that America is free, and freedom is special and rare. Freedom of speech, freedom of religion, freedom of enterprise. As long as we remember our first principle and believe in ourselves, the future will always be ours. Ours was the first revolution in the history of mankind that truly reversed the course of government, and with three little words, we the people. We the people are free. Once you begin a great movement, there's no telling where it'll end.
We're back.
We are back.
Oh, maybe we shouldn't tell everybody what we were doing there during that commercial.
Yeah, well, let their imaginations go.
No, it wasn't anything like that. We were flossing our teeth.
Ready for everything.
Yeah. I'm getting ready for bed now. Past my bedtime now.
So you're still there?
I am with you.
Okay, good, good. I thought I heard her laughing.
We try to add some. It doesn't always work, though. We'll probably get an email about that one. You guys are flossing your teeth during the show?
No, it's just during commercial break, yeah.
Okay. So tell us where you want to go next with this. What are some important points that you think the listeners should know?
Yeah, so at this point, because of what we've uncovered, our goal, our focus over the last few months has been to reach out to law enforcement. Because as I said earlier, we've got innocent citizens, innocent voters who have now been harmed. Their information, their personal information has been taken and used to create fake voters, phantom voters, and those voters, those fake voters, have had votes assigned to them. And so it does make that innocent voter, that innocent citizen, look like a felon. And we have quite a number of felonies on the books from our audit. So we have been meeting with state law enforcement, county law enforcement, and even all the way up to the FBI. And, you know, it's a little concerning that they are all playing hot potato with this information and not fully wrapping their hands around it and saying, okay, we're going to start an investigation. I actually had a personal conversation with a district attorney, I'm not going to say what county it was in, who said, you know what, I got the go-ahead to work with you guys and to look into this, but I honestly don't think that it's our jurisdiction. And I said, well, you know, your county. These are your constituents. These are your citizens whose identities have been stolen and felonies have now occurred under their name. And so how is that not your jurisdiction? And they said, well, because if the perpetrator is one person or two people and it's statewide, then it really should be a state law enforcement agency or maybe even a federal law enforcement agency. We don't have the resources or the ability to send out an investigator to chase this down across 60 counties in New York State. And that's the shame of this right now, is that while law enforcement, there are good actors. We really praise our law enforcement partners for all the hard work that they do, but it's like their hands are tied. One, they don't have the resources, they don't have the people, they don't have the manpower to send people out and do an investigation, or the funding, quite frankly, because of all the anti-law enforcement rhetoric that we've heard over the last couple of years. So they're hurting there. Their numbers are down. They haven't been able to recruit like they usually are. And so these crimes that we've identified are not being investigated. And I told you earlier, now we're hitting a wall. We're hitting a brick wall because there's a concerted effort with the state to not release any more information to us. And we can only do so much through FOILs. Really, we need to have law enforcement investigating. And so we've been meeting with sheriffs. We've been meeting with the upper echelon of the New York State Police. The information is in FBI's hands. And so we were really focused on that. And now this is what's happening, and this is why it's so important for people to do their own research on candidates and people that are looking for elected positions and getting out and voting, because you want someone that's going to be in your corner that has the wherewithal to fight for you, to fight for the Constitution, and to fight for our rights. And so now we have no other recourse but to file lawsuits across the state and to fight these people in court. And you're seeing, you know, I'm really confident now because not only in New York State but really across the nation, you're seeing these law suits being won against offenders of election integrity. And so it is getting traction. Things are the tide is turning. So that is the good thing. We're seeing it, and it is turning. We just, you know, that's why I say it's not going to happen probably by November 8th this year. But it is going to happen, and we're going to continue to fight until this battle is won. And in the meantime, we have amassed hundreds and hundreds of volunteers across the state who are going to our website, auditny.com. They are filling out our volunteer form. They are listening to all of the videos that we have uploaded on our website and on Rumble at New York, spelled out New York Citizens Audit. And they're getting involved in their own counties because you can. You individually, you have a part to play, and you can make a difference. And that's really important for people to know.
So all these lawsuits, they probably cost a little bit of money. Where should people send you guys donations so you can keep on, you know, because lawyers cost money, I know that, and unless there's a bunch of volunteers that are election law lawyers, which are pretty rare, you probably have to hire them, and they cost a little money. So where should people send donations to you guys so you can continue your work?
You're not kidding, Dean, and thank you for saying that. We do have a donate button on our webpage at auditny.com, and the upper left-hand corner, or excuse me, upper right-hand corner, you'll see the donate now button, so they can donate. Up until now, it's really all been volunteer. We've been, you know, doing this on a volunteer basis, and we've got, I can't believe how far we've gotten just on some great teamwork and some great structure and will of the people to move this ball as far as we have. But we do need donations now because now it is going to go to court. We do need to have some representation, and you know, things cost money, unfortunately. Your freedom isn't free. We know that, right? So, you know, your freedom, you know, unfortunately, in most cases, is paid for with blood. And in this case, it's going to be paid for with blood money, because that's what's going to take to fight this. And we shouldn't even have to be fighting this. We should be having free and fair elections, because that's what our New York State election law dictates, and it's just not being followed. So yeah. You can donate. You can donate on our website at auditny.com.
Yeah, you know, one assemblyman that's a good friend of ours, he says that they'll pass a bill that's unconstitutional. He'll jump up on the floor and say that's unconstitutional, and laugh at him and say 1-5.
Yeah.
And, you know, so I said, what's 1-5? $1 million in 5 years. So they go ahead and they pass all these unconstitutional laws, knowing damn well that, you know, they're not all going to go to court.
Yeah.
You know, and that's where I say the system's broken down. You know, a layman like me should be able to look at a law, look at the state constitution, say, you know what, this is unconstitutional. Write to a judge, and the judge should look at it and say, by golly, he's right. You know, this is unconstitutional. I strike down the law. It shouldn't cost, you know, the lawyers are the only ones making a lot of money with all this. The rest of us are just suffering, and that's the way I see it, at least.
Absolutely, and this goes back to why it is so bad to have a supermajority in the state legislature, in the assembly or in the Senate, because you're not getting a balanced voice. You're not hearing the voice of the people in that case. The voice of the people are getting squashed, and so you've got to get out and vote. And what's really sad about the state of affairs for New York is one of the things that we determined in our audit is how many walk-on state legislators there were. And by that I mean they ran unopposed. So the Republicans could not even find a candidate to run against the Democrat, and so the Democrat just got to walk into office. How egregious is that?
Yeah.
That's awful that we can't find people to run against a Democrat or a Republican, and that elected officials are just walking into office. And so the voice of the people in those districts are not being heard. They're not being heard. And we need to have a balance, right? So the government is based on checks and balances. But now we've got a super majority, and they're just running, you know, rampant around, passing all these crazy bills and affecting our lives, and there's no checks to put into place. And so, you know, I feel bad for my Republican friends who are in office, who are running, especially, you know, out in your way. I know them very well. And, you know, they stand up and they say, we're going to fight this, we're going to fight that. And they want to, they have good intentions, they want to. But at the end of the day, you're going to get on the floor and your vote's not going to count because they already have the majority. And that's not good for anybody, because let me tell you, it might be the Democrats today, but it could be the Republicans tomorrow. And so you better be careful what you wish for, right? So you got to have a balanced voice in government. Otherwise, the system just doesn't work. So I'm hoping that people get out and vote and they recognize that things are just getting crazy. They're just running away with all of these rights of ours, and they have no one to answer for.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, the founding fathers made us a republic instead of a representative democracy, is to prevent
the
tyranny of the minority by the majority. But with these super majorities, just like you said, they've got tyranny. Really, we've only got three people running all of New York State: the governor, the Senate Majority Leader, and the Assembly Majority Leader. You know, they all get together, they say what they're going to do. Everybody goes by party lines. That's another problem that I've got with the system. You know, it used to be when I was young, if a Republican thought of something good and it was good for the people, the Democrats would go, you know, by golly, that's good for the people, I'm going to vote for it. And they'd vote for it, and there'd be no repercussions. And likewise, you know, if a Democrat thought of something that was good for the people, the Republicans would go along. Now everything is party lines. You just have, you know, just get rid of all the representatives, just have two or three people running the show, and that's essentially what we've got.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's really doing us all a disservice. And so, you know, and not only do we see it here in New York, it's really bad here in New York. We knew it was bad. I mean, we saw this out-migration of people over the last decade. And so, you know, Florida looks more like New York right now, and Governor DeSantis is such a empowerment to elected officials because he's standing against what mainstream is trying to tell him is right. And he is crafting that state into what the people really want. And that's why so many people are flocking there. If people didn't want it, they wouldn't move there because they know what they're moving into. They know with a governor like Governor DeSantis, they're moving into a state that upholds the Constitution. So that should tell you everything you need to know. New Yorkers are flocking to Florida.
Why are we
seeing it at the polls? We're not seeing it at the polls because the polls are not accurate and they're not demonstrating the will of the people. They're not.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You know, if the 6.2 million gun owners in New York State voted against Kathy Hochul, you know, there'd be a Republican governor. It's as easy as that. They get out of their living rooms and go and vote against them. You know, it's craziness. It used to be our biggest export was our young people in this area because all the factories have shut down. But then our county executive said, "Oh yeah, you know, 10,000 people left the county, but we made it up with another 10,000." Mm-hmm. Well, those 10,000 were illegal immigrants that he brought into the county to have a net zero population change. So that's what a lot of these counties are doing. You know, in New York State, there's what, like 1,000 people a day leaving the state, but then how many illegals are coming in? I don't know.
It's smoke and mirrors, and you can tell with the population of Florida versus the population of New York, and then our budgets, match them up, and you'll see how crazy New York State is versus Florida. And that's where everybody is going to. So we know that the system is broken. We just have to open our eyes. You know, unfortunately, it's become such a divisive time period. And, you know, everybody just wants to fight along party lines. And you know, sometimes you have to find that middle ground and get back to center. And then, you know, once you're there, you can kind of work on some things beyond that. But we're so divisive right now that no one's even willing to make any accords to one another. So I think that this is going to be the turning point for the state, for sure. And it's going to be the turning point for the country. These midterms are super important. I hate saying it. We say it all the time as candidates. This is the most important election of the year. And every year we feel that it is the most important election of the year. But by golly, this is the most important election of the year. Because if we lose this, we have lost our country. We've lost it.
We only need to get
and
2 seats.
And we can't afford to lose it.
And, you know, yeah, we only need to get 2 Senate seats. And then they'll turn the Senate around and get rid of Harris. You know, has broken more ties in the Senate than any other vice president in the history of the country. So 2 Senate seats, and that would get rid of that. And I think we're only about 6 seats away in the House from getting the majority in the House too. So
we have to do it. We have to do the call out. We got to get rid of Schumer in the state, and we've got to make sure that people show up across the country. We've got to get those numbers back in the Senate. We got to take back the House too, and we have the ability to do it. And then maybe we can stand to fight this battle another day. But if we don't do that this time around for these midterms, I'm afraid that things are not going to be great. And so, you know, your listeners need to hear that message to get out, grab 10 friends, make sure that they're registered to vote, and get in the car and get out there and vote, because the Republic is at risk right now.
Yeah. So we have about 4 minutes left, actually about 2 minutes left. Is there some, there's one thing that you would want to leave with the listeners tonight and those who are going to follow with listening on Apple and Freedomizer Radio, Blog Talk Radio,
Apple iHeart.
iHeart Radio.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys are everywhere.
It?
That's great.
Yeah.
It is cool.
Yeah, so
it's
this
cool.
is what I would tell your listeners. Listen, this is so important. Go to our website, auditny.com. Get familiar with the information and spread the word. Do not be afraid to talk about election fraud. It is happening. It has been happening. Don't let them scare you and fool you. You know, Hillary Clinton was decrying election fraud when she lost. So was Stacey Abrams. So were many, many candidates before them. This has been happening for a long time. This is nothing new. This didn't just happen with Trump. So don't let them, put you in a box and play that Trump card. This has been happening, and it's okay to talk about it, but have your facts and then spread the word and make sure people know that the only way to combat election fraud at this level with these algorithms in the voter rolls, the software that's embedded in the voter rolls where they can remotely manipulate the outcome of the election. The only way to beat that system is to come out full force where they can't expect how many people are coming out to vote. That's what happened in 2016 and why Trump won. And that's why we will be victorious again. But you gotta just bring people out and get them to vote. And if you are interested in the organization and you want to get involved in your local county, please go on our website, again, auditny.com. Go to the volunteer tab, fill out the volunteer information. We have weekly calls that you can hop on to learn more about New York Citizens Audit and all of the things that we're doing. You can learn how to get engaged and be a part of your own county and be a part of the change. We all have an obligation. We all have a duty, and we all have the ability. God's given us that ability to rise above occasions like this and bring it forward and save not only ourselves but the greater good. And so I would just like to share that with your voters or with your listeners and make sure that they know that they have the power as voters to get out there and make a difference.
Fantastic. We totally appreciate you being on tonight. It was very enlightening and very true. And on the other side, very scary.
Yeah.
You know, very scary. So we will definitely send you the link once it's up tomorrow. I just want to recap on what we're going to do for our next couple of shows. Next week we're going to have on the Cheektowaga Republican Committee. This committee just got restarted. We're going to get them on, and we're going to find out what great things they're doing. Western New York here. Then we have a couple other shows coming up in November, and I can't wait for the November 11th show. You guys have to go to our Facebook page to check out who's going to be on. But if you guys remember that guy during the hurricane that had the big flag that said F Biden,
yeah.
I literally got a hold of this guy, and he is going to be on our show on November 11th. I can't wait for that one. Up tonight, D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond.
And then after that one, we should have Senate Minority Leader, hopefully it will be the Majority Leader, Rob Wart, doing a recap on the elections.
Yeah, so we're gonna have some exciting shows coming up, and honestly, it's going to be a really gritty 2.5 weeks, I think, 3 weeks. So D&D, Delivering the Truth in New York State and Beyond. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. Dean, do you want to add anything?
Yeah, have a good weekend.
Yep, have a good weekend. Have a good night. And I'm not going to tell you to be safe. You have an immune system.
Right.
Have a good night, everybody.
Thank you, guys.